everyone. Welcome to the Don't Settle Squad podcast with me, Mark McCourt, aka Guy Didn't Settle, if you're following me on Instagram. And the goal of this podcast is to put out inspiration and education to help you take back control of your body, your mindset, and your life. So obviously, to do with the Guy Who Didn't Settle name, I didn't settle for my movement limitations for 10 years of chronic pains and injuries and having to give up the sport I loved, which was jiu-jitsu. And yeah, I've come back from that. And like I keep telling you guys on Instagram, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you settle for. So for those of you out there who don't want to settle for that, that's what this podcast is for, what the content on Instagram is for. Try and inspire and educate you to take back control of your body, mindset, and life, like I said. So if that's you, hit the subscribe button, subscribe, join the Don't Settle Squad, and we're going to go for progress together. So yeah, episode 3 today. What we're going to talk about is pain, okay? So what is pain and how to manage it? So this is one that's really important for people who have gone through chronic pain, who have chronic pains, who have injuries, that type of stuff. Because, you know, going back to my own experience, like I keep saying, how I got out of it and got back to jiu-jitsu and so much more, it wasn't because I found the best mobility exercise or anything like that. There's nothing like that. It was because took ownership of my issues, like I said, and I started to educate myself on the body, how it works, and this is where the progress came from. Most people don't have a clue what pain is, the purpose of it, how to manage it, how to start getting out of chronic pains, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Again, I'll just be looking over here, trying to keep me on track, not ramble on for hours. And yeah, the kind of tagline here that I just thought of when I was thinking about this episode is that, you know, pain can be life's biggest tormentor or it can be life's greatest teacher. That's a simple way to think about it in my own life. It did torment me on and off for 10 years, you know, hip pain, back pain, all this type of stuff. But it's also become life's greatest teacher for me, learning more about my body, helping myself, getting out of that. And now my purpose is helping others to do the same. So same for you guys out there, anyone with chronic pain, this is the decision you have to make. Are you going to let it become, or it probably already is, are you going to let it stay as life's greatest tormentor for you, stopping you from doing things that you love to do, or are you going to let it become the greatest teacher and learn more about your body, get out of it, get back doing the things that you love? First up, okay, so what is pain? Pain is an output from the brain, okay? So if you went back and watched the last episode about why we get tight and stiff, it's all coming from the same place, the evolutionary view of humans, how we've evolved over the last, you know, 6 million years, okay, what we are designed to do. Everything stems from that. Like I said in the last episode, how we get fat in our bodies, why we're more anxious creatures, but also towards the movement and mobility side of things, and also for pain, okay? So it's an output from the brain, and like the number one goal of the brain, it's doing it to protect us, okay? So pain, it's an output from the brain to protect us to any perceived threats. Okay, so simply, pain is an output from the brain for a perceived threat to us. Okay, I'll put in a few analogies again. Analogies are what's going to let you remember this. Think back to the hunter-gatherer days and you'll see the utility of pain. Let's say me and you were kids, we're messing around a campfire in the evening, you know, we've hunted, got our food, whatever, cooking it. Or we'll say our parents are cooking it and we're just hanging around the fire. We can't even speak English or any language. You know, we can't communicate with each other yet. Okay, so we're very small kids. We're just playing around and messing. So we can't actually communicate with each other yet or our parents through language. And if we're just messing around the fire wrestling and I pushed you towards the fire and the fire maybe got you on the elbow, okay, you don't know that fire is dangerous because, again, we're just kids. We don't know anything. But when your brain through the nerves feels that heat on your elbow, heat that probably like you've never felt before in your life, that is a perceived threat from the brain to your body. Something that's really, really hot has just touched me here. This could be dangerous. So you'll get pain. You'll get a message from the brain, okay? And even though you know nothing, you know one thing, I'm staying away from that feckin' hot thing with that hot red thing there. That's what you know, okay? So, again, this pain has taught you, it's your teacher, it has taught you, whatever that thing is there, stay away from it. And that's what you do. And again, that can save your life. Let's say if you brushed against the fire, and again, you didn't get pain because your brain isn't trying to protect you. It's like, oh yeah, you know what you're doing. You brushed against it, you don't feel anything. What could happen? Well, you won't get away from it. Me and you could just keep playing and maybe both of us roll into the fire. And now we're both dead. So the species would not live on if that's what happened, okay? But because we get the pain, the brain is trying to keep us safe. It perceives a threat here, and it's going to keep us away from that. So again, those are the type of humans that would have survived. Those are the type of humans that are our ancestors, okay? So there's the utility of pain to keep us alive. That's why we have it, and the brain doesn't know the difference between this modern environment here and the hunter-gatherer example that I've just given you, okay? So that's it, a perceived threat from the brain, okay? So yeah, that's the example I went through. And the most important word here is perceived, okay? It's a perceived threat, which means it doesn't actually have to be something that is dangerous to you. The fire example, that is an actual threat, okay? But for other examples that can lead into modern life, things like chronic back pain, you know, like I've had clients getting pain bending over, tying their shoes. I used to get back pain ironing shirts, sitting on a train for too long, standing still for too long. I'll always remember these. You know, you might see me now doing splits, doing crazy things, doing heavy Jefferson curls, all this stuff. I used to get pain, like I said, never forget them, ironing too many shirts, standing up for too long, sitting on a train for too long. Was there any threat to my body there? No. But again, perceived threat. We'll get into this a bit later on and you'll understand it by the end of the episode. Okay, so perceived threat is the important word there. Again, I'll throw in another example to help you remember this. Think of it like a fire alarm, okay? We all have a fire alarm in our apartment or our house. Think of how many times has it gone off in your lifetime. And now think of how many times has there actually been a fire. Hopefully you haven't had a fire. I haven't had a fire in my experience. The fire alarm has gone off probably 10 plus times in my life. But there's been no fire, okay? So the fire alarm, it's like the brain, any perceived threat. It doesn't have to be a fire. It could just be smoke from cooking food. I'm no Gordon Ramsay, so I've set it off a few times. Again, the fire alarm is not taking any chances because the one time it actually could be a fire. Sorry, let me explain that again. It'll go off every time, even if there's not a fire, just to make sure that you're staying alive, okay? Because the one time where there is smoke, and it waits until the fire is there and there's way more smoke, maybe it's too late now to save you. So the fire alarm is like the brain, any sort of perceived threat, it's going to set off the alarm. Same thing with the examples I was giving about chronic back pain, okay? So think of it like that, like the fire alarm, any perceived threat, it's going to go off. Okay, so yeah, like I said, it's all come around to the safety, okay? The pain, it's trying to protect us. And like I said in the last episode, go back and watch it if you haven't. Our brain will feel safer if we have control over our body, okay? If we have strength and control over lots of different movements and positions, the brain will feel safe and let you move around in those positions. Like I said in the last one again, the tightness and stiffness that we get, it's protecting us from movements that we're not safe in. Okay. Yeah, I've gone through those examples. Okay, so I'll just talk a bit about one of the kind of models around pain, one that'll help you understand it a lot more. Okay, so like I said, you'll have to learn a bit about the body now if you want to start getting long-term progress and getting out of pain. There is no quick fixes, so you know, you can pay attention here and watch back over it, take some notes if you want. With the biopsychosocial model of pain, it can sound a bit complicated, but it's not really. It's just bio for biology, psycho for psychology, and social for social. So that's what it is, the biopsychosocial model of pain. You could think of it like three circles, okay? So but the biology circle here, the psychology circle here, and the social circle here, and where they're all, you know, intertwined and overlapping, that's where you can get pain, okay? So basically it means pain is very complex. It's a combination of your biology, like your body, your psychology, and the social element, which I'm going to tell you a little bit about now, okay? So one of the biggest takeaways from this episode, something I didn't know 10 years ago, something you probably don't know, pain is very complex. There is no one cause for pain, okay? Pain is very complex. There is no one cause for pain. It's an individual experience. Once you know that, again, a lot of misinformation in the mainstream, in the fitness mainstream and the healthcare mainstream, will start to fall apart and you'll stop falling victim to it. Things like 5 best exercises to stop knee pain. That's bollocks because it doesn't make sense in terms of how the human body works. Like I said, pain is going to be a combination of biology, combination of psychology and social, okay? So there are no fixes. There is no one cause for pain. Other things, your back pain is caused by your posture. Again, big X, that doesn't make any sense in terms of how the body works. Okay, again, it could be a combination of biological things in terms of your mobility, okay, psychological thoughts, beliefs, emotions, the social, who you're listening to as well. It's never one cause. It's going to be a combination of lots of causes, okay? I probably should maybe do another episode on correlation versus causation, because this is where a lot of us will get confused. Things can be correlated, but it doesn't mean it's the cause. Without going off on a tangent there, let me think of a simple example. If I punched you in the arm and you got back pain 2 hours later, okay? Then 2 days went by, I didn't punch you, you got no back pain. Then the next day, I punched you in the arm again and you got back pain that day. I could just say, oh, your back pain is caused because I punched you. There's data there to show it. But we know that's not true. Like, but how would you know? I could convince you that that's true because the data is there. Again, that's not causation. They're just correlated. It's just correlation. I'm not causing that. So that's where things can get a bit tricky for pain. Lots of factors are involved. Okay, so like I said, these things like, oh, this will definitely fix your back pain, I can 100% fix you, all that stuff is bullshit. Okay, so I'll give you 2 takeaways now. This is what I go back and tell the old Mark, which is what I think when I'm talking into the camera. If any healthcare practitioner tells you that they can 100% get rid of your pain, that's bullshit. It's not true, because there is no factor for pain. And like I said, pain is a teacher. You can get it throughout different stages of life. It can't just be fixed and go away. So if somebody says that to you, Mark, now you know either A, they're lying to you and they're a snake oil fucking salesman and they don't actually care about you, they're just in it for the money, or B, they haven't actually studied enough on the human body to understand how wrong they are. So either way, I don't want to go to them because they're not going to get me progress. They're either lying to you or they haven't taken the profession seriously enough to actually educate themselves on how the human body works. Okay? Very important stuff for anyone in pain. People telling you that, it's not true. So all we can really do, and all I put out there, because it's the truth, maybe not the most marketable way, all we can do is start to tick the right boxes to start helping you move better, and there'll be less likely for you to get pain. Okay, so that's what we'll go into now for the last kind of 5 or 10 minutes. The biology circle, the psychology circle, and the social circle. We can just start ticking as many boxes as we can in those 3 areas, and that's going to lead you to have much less reason to get pain, and that's what I've done with myself and what I do with clients. Okay, rambling on a bit more than I wanted here, but look, once I get into it, I suppose different points come out. Hopefully, you're still on track. Like I said, pause, go back over it if you need to. Okay, so we'll go into the biopsychosocial model of pain now. The first circle of the biology, the simple one. Yes, if we get injured, if we have pains, it can be because of an actual injury to your body. If someone got a baseball bat, whacked me in the arm and I broke my arm, I'm going to get pain from that, and it's for a valid reason because my limb is broke. Okay, so they're the easy ones, you know, like accidents, injuries and matches and that type of stuff. They're straightforward. You have an actual injury to your body. But then, like I said, when it gets more complicated, chronic pain, you're getting pain, bending over, tying your shoes and this type of stuff. You haven't broke your back and all this kind of stuff that you say there. So that's where it gets more complicated. But yes, in the biology part, what we can do is the mobility programs. That's how we're going to improve that part. Okay, so, you know, previous injuries, you haven't rehabbed them. You know, your mobility is very bad. You're tight and stiff, all that sort of stuff. To tick the boxes for the biology, that's where the mobility program comes in, okay? So that's the purpose of that. That's how we deal with this circle up here. The next one then, the psychology. This is actually the most important circular aspect of pain, okay? Sounds maybe a bit mad. Again, this is more information that changed my life because I thought it was all about the mobility up here. The psychology is the most important one. Your thoughts, beliefs, your emotions, okay? All these have major implications on your pain levels. Again, it's nothing woo-woo, okay? It's nothing woo-woo. It's science. It's proven, okay? So we'll go through a few examples to ingrain this in and make sense for your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions around your body have a massive impact on your pain levels, your movement, your mobility, and your quality of life, okay? Things like me, given loads of diagnosis of what's wrong with my body, I thought I was fragile and broken, okay? I thought bending over and stuff was dangerous, hence more reason to be afraid of bending over, hence more reason of my brain perceiving a threat and increasing the back pain. It's a vicious loop that'll keep going around. You think you're fragile, so you don't move. You move less, so you get even stiffer. Now you're stiffer, you think you're broken, and it just keeps going spiraling downwards. And that'll happen forever if you're not educating yourself with this sort of stuff. So yeah, the psychology, once we understand we're adaptable creatures, we're so resilient. I'll go on a separate podcast about how adaptable we are, but we can change, we can take back control of our body. We don't have to be fearful of different movements, and the pain and stuff can start to go away once we get that control over our body from the mobility program. But we have to change our beliefs first, okay? We have to understand that we aren't broken, we aren't fragile, or you will never get long-term progress. So we'll go through an example of the implications of the psychology on someone's pain level, okay? Let's say, is this the same one that I'd wrote down? Yeah, same example. Let's say me and you go to get an injection, okay? So you have a bad experience of getting an injection before. So maybe when you were a kid, you didn't want to get the injection, and you were pinned down, okay? So let's say doctors or your dad or whoever it was had to kind of pin you down because you needed to get this injection. You were freaking out, you were scared, you were sweating, your heart is pounding, you hated it, it hurt so much. You have a really bad experience of it. Your psychology around this is negative. Bad experience. Me, I'm fine. Got loads of injections before. Not a bother. Didn't hurt me. Not afraid of them. It's all good. So if we both go into the same person to get the same injection the exact same way, and then we come out at the end and fill out a form of what was your pain level for that 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, will ours be the same? Obviously it won't. You could come out and yours could be 8 out of 10 pain, or it could be 10 out of 10 because you're freaking out again, you don't want to do it, you're scared, all the previous thoughts, beliefs, emotions around it are very negative, your brain is freaking out. The perceived threat, like the fire alarm's gone off, even though the needle isn't dangerous, doesn't matter, the fire alarm's gone off, you're freaking out, your brain is perceiving this as a very dangerous experience, a threat to your life, and it's giving you the pain because it wants you to get away, okay? Whereas me, my brain knows it's no threat, I'm not worried about anything, it's fine, I'm safe, so I don't get pain. I could come out and say 0 or 1, just from the little prick of the needle, you could say 8 or 10. That is an example of the psychology. Nothing's been different. It's the same needle. Do you know what I mean? It's the same person. They haven't just jabbed you with it and put it softly into me, okay? So the psychology there is massive. And that's where we can really start to understand the difference that it can have leading into chronic pains throughout our life. When we're thinking of the brain, okay, you can just think of it like a man in a dark cave. I know it sounds a bit weird. Think of like the brain like a man in a dark cave, aka your skull. It doesn't know anything about the outside world except the information it gets through your five senses and thoughts, beliefs, past experiences, okay? So it's trying to navigate the world and keep you safe only through those things, your five senses and thoughts, beliefs, experiences, okay? So if it has very negative ones, it's always going to start thinking like, oh, this is kind of dangerous, and it can give you the perceived threat of pain. So onto the social one then. So we cover the biology, which is actually the body, like the mobility program. The psychological here, it's all around thoughts, beliefs, emotions around the human body, your understanding of it. The most important part, like I said, which is why I'm putting out information like this, which is why in the mobility membership, it's very educational, okay? Because without this foundation, the mobility program is not going to be as effective, okay? So that's why I say things like, it's education and coaching that you need to take back control of your body. They need to come together. The last circle then, the social, that's very simply like the social element, like who are you listening to for information on the human body, which will then go around and influence the psychology, which will then go around and influence your mobility or your fear of movement, let's say if it's a negative loop, okay? So the social, you listen to this doctor, you know, I'll take my example, let's say I'm listening to these experts, doctors, physios, chiropractors, all telling me that my hips are out of place, I have scoliosis, you know, I need to give up sport, all that kind of stuff. I did. I was listening to them. My psychology was very negative around everything. I thought I was fragile and broken, getting back pain from iron shirts and things like that. Coming home lying on the couch thinking I've done damage to my spine after matches if I'm getting pain. And the mobility, because I know nothing about the body, I never did any mobility training to move better. Okay, so if we think of the past, Mark, I'm getting an X on all the three main areas of pain. Okay, so yeah, it would make sense that I have chronic pain if I'm not doing well in any of these three areas. Okay, we think of me now. Who am I following for advice in the human body? Not those experts. You know, there's good and bad in every profession. I'm not taking a jibe at doctors, osteopaths, anything like that. But the specific ones I went to were not good in terms of their understanding of the human body. So I've changed that. I only follow people who I can clearly know now understand the human body. People who are, they're not selling, oh, I'm going to fix it forever, but ways to get out of pain, ways to move better. They're the people I'm following. Then that leads around my understanding of the human body is so much better now for my own, you know, hundreds of hours of study, going to courses, self-learning, etc., working on my own body. That's a good, so I'm getting a tick there, a tick here. And then obviously the mobility, I've been doing that for, what is it, going back 4 years now on my own body, and obviously doing it for other people too. So I'm getting a tick in every box there. And obviously it's making sense now. I'm, you know, moving the best I ever have and not in chronic pain anymore. Okay. Don't know how long this has gone on, but that's probably enough for now. Look, it's a lot of information there. So again, this is why I keep saying things like, it's the misinformation that's the problem. Ownership and education is the solution. Okay, so to link that in there, it's the misinformation, which is, this is the root of all this big negative cycle here, the psychology. Us thinking we're fragile, we're broken, you know, we need a quick fix or there's something wrong with us. All this type of thinking is what starts the whole negative loop of everything going wrong. Once we, again, take ownership of your own limitations, understand you need to go looking for better answers, educate yourself through information like this, that's when the psychology around it can change. You know, humans are adaptable. Like I said, the pain doesn't mean you're broken. It's just a perceived threat. All this stuff you can lead into, okay, not broken, just need to work on it. We'll start a mobility program, start listening to the right people. You can start ticking all these boxes and moving towards, you know, getting out of chronic pains, get moving better, get back to the things that you want to do. So yeah, that's what I do. That's what the mobility membership is for. If this is you, DM me. It would be my pleasure to, like I said, cut through the bullshit for you. Obviously, I get a bit frustrated still talking about it because I've gone through 10 years of, you know, not doing the right things. I'm just doing the same thing over and over again, going to a chiropractor, listening to these people, thinking I'm broken, having to give up sport at 25, you know, feeling like a tin man. I don't want that for you. So like I'm saying, yeah, if you take ownership, I'll give you the education and coaching that you need. The education for the psychology, the coaching for the biology. And this is what's going to get you moving better, getting back to the things that you want to do. Okay? So yeah, we'll leave it there. Any questions, comment below. And like I said, if you find this information useful, if you find the content on Instagram useful, please support me. You know, that's what's going to get the word out. So whatever, like, comment or subscribe. Subscribe is probably the biggest one. And then, yeah, try and grow the channel from there. So leave you with the final phrase. So you don't get what you deserve, you get what you settle for. Hopefully this has been some inspiration and education to not settle for those movement limitations. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one.